Good morning. I invite you to take your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. I got to say, the kids did a great job, didn't they? It was really good. And, you know, make sure you thank the workers as well that work with those children, because they spent a lot of time preparing and they spent a lot of time just planning. And the fruit of that was, you know, it was really encouraging just to hear children proclaim the gospel clearly. I think we can praise God for that, can't we? So that was good. Next week, we have the choir is going to sing. So we're looking forward to that as well. So make sure you're here for that. And don't be shy to invite a friend. We're going to share the gospel too. So Luke chapter 2 is our text this morning. Now, a strange thing happened Christmas Eve during World War I. Despite bitter trench warfare between the Germans and the British, they stopped shooting at each other during Christmas Eve. Now, for a brief period of time, first, the Germans were heard singing Christmas carols in the trenches. And it wasn't long before the British couldn't help themselves but sing with them in their own language. But even more amazingly, as the day proceeded, they cautiously began to meet each other face to face. They ended up actually exchanging buttons from their uniforms and mementos between the two. And there is rumor that there was even a, we call it soccer, but football match that took place. And for a brief time, peace had come to the trenches. It was an amazing phenomenon. Unfortunately, that peace didn't last, and the hatred of men was very strong, and the hostilities resumed, and many fatalities resulted from the terrible toil of war. But in that brief moment, what was the basis for peace? It was Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to be talking about the gift of peace with God, which is far more than just the temporary ceasefire or cessation of hostilities on Christmas Eve, but a lasting peace. So let's just pray and ask God to guide us. Heavenly Father, as we read your word, as we seek understanding, may we truly know and understand what it is that you're trying to teach us this morning. May we take this time to exalt Christ, and may we take this time to worship Christ, and may our hearts be filled with that great peace that comes from you, O God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" Luke 2 is a beloved chapter of Scripture. because it gives us this wonderful account of the details of the birth of Jesus Christ. We know at the start of Luke chapter 2, famously, they could find no room at the inn. And so Christ is born in a manger, a lowly, humble birthplace for the Son of God. Now, while this was happening, one of the things we learn is that in the very same area, so in the same region, there is shepherds keeping watch of their flocks at night. They were ensuring that the sheep would stay safe, as the predators didn't celebrate Christmas, by the way. So here they were watching over these sheep. Shepherds are not typically viewed in a favorable light in this time period. They're considered, you know, country folk, uncouth, unrefined, my kind of people, making their living by spending time with livestock. But it is these ordinary, regular people that God reveals something most extraordinary. Now, while they're in the field, and you have to picture this. They're in this darkened field. There might be stars in the sky, of course, but it's a very ordinary night. They're just going to work. They're not anticipating anything supernatural. Now, imagine you are in your field. You're watching your flock, making sure, you know, the wolves aren't coming, any predators aren't coming. You see the stars in the sky, but how would you feel if you were out there in the middle of the countryside and an angel just bursts forth in front of you? I mean, you have to put yourself in their shoes, because sometimes we just kind of do away with that. But imagine there's this angel all of a sudden who breaks the routine of the ordinary night. And we're told not only did this angel appear, but all of a sudden, the glory of God shines all around. To give you an idea, this is not just like, hey, this little light of mine. This was an incredible source of light. There's actually one other passage that uses the same Greek word for the shining light. And I think it gives us a good idea of what this light looked like. It's Paul talking about, in Acts, about his experience where he encountered Christ. In Acts 26, it says, "At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those that journeyed with me." Brighter than the sun. You're standing in the field, and you got these sheep all around you, and an angel appears, and then the glory of God shines so brightly that it's brighter than the sun. What is your reaction? Yippee, no. That's overwhelming. In the darkness of the night was pierced with a great light. No ordinary light. It's the glory of God shining in the night. And the shepherds react exactly as you would expect. They had great fear. They were shaking. Look, it doesn't matter who you are. When you look at the scriptures, in Isaiah 6, for example, when Isaiah is given a vision of God on his throne, what does he say? He says, "Woe unto me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips." They're standing in the presence of an angel, and the glory of God is there. They're feeling the weight of their humanity and their sinfulness, and they feel that weight because God's glory is so glorious, so resplendent, so majestic, and they're afraid. Who are we to stand in such a presence as this? It's an awesome thing to be in the presence of God. But the angel says, and I love that, "Fear not. Fear not." For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. You're a farmhand out in a field, and God says, I'm going to show you my glory, and I'm going to tell you the greatest news that anybody could ever hear, and I'm going to reveal it to you while you're watching your sheep. That's amazing. It must have been a jaw-dropping experience. And what is this good news? Well, the good news is that in the city of David, and in this case, usually it's Jerusalem that's referred to the city of David, but in this case, it's talking about his birthplace, David's birthplace, Bethlehem. A Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord. Now, this was significant, because you see, the people of Israel, while they had very confused ideas of what it might be, the scriptures promised them in the Old Testament that a Savior would come. And the scriptures promised very specifically the geolocation of the Savior. Micah 5:2 says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from the Ancient of Days." A Savior, Christ the Lord. Now, Christ is also in the Old Testament Messiah. We hear that, or the word Messiah, but Christ means anointed one. The one who was specifically appointed to the task, anointed. Like a priest is anointed to serve, Christ is the anointed one. The Lord, a Lord is one who rules. So it's an anointed ruler. And this anointed ruler is also a Savior. Now the question must be for all the people, what kind of a Savior? Unfortunately, many in Israel thought that the Savior was a political Messiah. They thought they were going to be delivered from Roman occupation. But Matthew chapter 1:21 tells us what kind of a Savior he is. She shall bear a son, speaking of Mary, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This means that people from every tongue, tribe, and nation will be saved from their sins because of Jesus. Good news for all the people. This is good news of great joy. Now, the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's bad news. Our sin, not only is it bad news, but our sin condemns us. The Bible says that sin must be punished. Colossians chapter 3 says this in verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. So, the natural result of our sin is that God's wrath is upon us. We must be punished for our sin. Condemnation, eternal condemnation. The shepherds were as hopeless as we are in our own natural state. Without Jesus, we're lost in our sin. Is it any wonder that when they burst through the clouds announcing this news, that all the angels started singing to God over this glorious truth? I mean, here they're telling us, an angel announces that Jesus has come to save us from our sins. And by the way, the one that would do it is lying in a manger, a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. He's the Savior. And so how can the angels not sing? Because God is fulfilling his plans. That which was lost in the garden, humanity's relationship destroyed by sin, is now we are being rescued. And God is doing it. And so Jesus would come, born of a virgin. He would live and die to rescue us from our sin by dying on a cross, gloriously rising from the dead on the third day. Glory to God in the highest is indeed the right thing to say about that. And peace on earth among with those with whom he is pleased. That is to say, those who will be saved because of Jesus Christ. Now, what is this peace? So I told you about this Christmas peace, this temporary cessation of hostilities, where they had a ceasefire. Every peace on earth at this point is a fragile peace. Because at any moment, men could drop their arms and fight against each other. There's a fragile peace. But this wasn't talking about earthly peace. This, if Jesus was coming to save sinners, which he was, and he did, then this is talking about a different kind of peace. This is peace of a spiritual nature. We are at peace with God. You see, by Jesus dying for our sin, the wrath of God that is against us has been satisfied by his shed blood. We are made into a right relationship with God. When we are under Christ's blood, when we repent of our sins and believe in Jesus Christ, forgiveness is given to us in a way that God no longer sees our sin because the blood of Christ covers over it. And when he looks at us, he sees his Son, who is perfect righteousness, and because he is pleased and loves his Son, we are adopted into his family, and he loves us, and his wrath no longer is against us. You, if you are a child of God, if you have turned to Christ and trusted in him, you are at peace with God. The war is over. And that means that when you go to heaven one day and you stand before the Heavenly Father, he will be pleased to see you. Isaiah 53:5 says this, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Now, the peace between God and man is a gift that Jesus gave us in his life and death and resurrection. What is our responsibility? It's to obey the gospel. And to obey the gospel means that we turn from our sin and believe in Jesus. This is a gift that cost Jesus his life, but it is given to you most freely. You don't have to pay for it because Jesus did. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's just read a little bit more. Verse 15. When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that has been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. Now, you were out in the field. You're hanging out with the sheep. An angel shows up. The glory of the Lord blazes in the night sky. And then a whole host of angels comes out and sings praises to God. What is your reaction? They tell you, go and see this child who's born in Bethlehem. I'm pretty sure their reaction isn't, that's kind of cool. Let's keep taking care of the sheep. No, what do? It says that they went, and I think this word is so important. They went with haste. They booked it. They ran down to see what was going on. They couldn't wait to meet Jesus Christ because of how glorious they had just experienced this thing. And they found him lying in a manger exactly as the angel had told them to do. And what did the shepherds do? They're the first missionaries. They're the first evangelists. The shepherds are like, hey, guess what happened? Angels told us that this baby would be here. And by the way, he's the Savior who's going to save us from our sins. He's the one that Scripture's promised. Now that leaves us with some very personal questions. Have we received the gift of peace with God? Have you personally? Look, this isn't just something you do at Christmas. Maybe you're just visiting right now. Maybe you're here every week. But have you personally turned to Jesus and believed in him? Because you need to. You need to turn from your sins and believe in him. That is the only way to be saved. But oh, you will know that peace with God if you do. The second question, are we like those shepherds? If we have encountered the truth of the gospel, if we know Jesus, how earnest are you to share that with other people? Do you have that burden to let people know? Do you want to see other people come to Jesus and know him? I mean, after all, the book of Matthew, what does it finish with? In Matthew 28, it says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Look, the goal is to be like the shepherds. The goal is to be like the disciples. The goal is to go and make disciples. And we will have many opportunities over the Christmas season. I think we need to pray for courage. I think we need to pray for those right moments to come about. You know, Mary treasured these things in her heart. The shepherds went back to their field praising God. And by the way, they went back to their field because there are mountaintop experiences in the Christian life, but there's a whole lot of routine too. And they went back and they kept taking care of the sheep. But they went back praising God. Life still goes on. So we must be grateful for the gift of peace with God and share the hope of this gift with others. And I just thought it would be neat to kind of share the contrasts that I've found in this passage, which are just phenomenal. The way this story unfolds, I think it just highlights how great a peace or a gift of peace this really is. We had these despised shepherds, but on the other hand, the angels are appearing to the lowly common farmhands. It is nighttime, and God's glory pierces the darkness and shines brightly. In the Greek, the word for great is mega. We get that word, mega. In the passage, it says they had mega fear. They had great fear. But look at what the angel says. But you don't need to have mega fear. Have fear not, because I bring you news which is mega joy. Great joy. The joy outweighs the fear. There were just a few shepherds being told this news in that field. And yet this was news for all the people. It was a routine night of work, but it was an extraordinary event. They were in the country, but they headed to the city of David. Mankind was lost in their sin. Jesus comes to save people from their sin. They heard with their ears, they saw with their eyes, they ran with their feet, and they spoke with their mouths. And a Lord was born in a manger. And think of this, in the city of the shepherd David, the shepherd king David, the king who is born is the King of Kings, and he's also the chief shepherd. All of this was to announce that peace between God and man was established through Jesus Christ. True peace. And by the way, this world does grieve us when we see all of the wicked things that mankind does to one another. We long for peace. We long for the end of destruction, of war. And the beautiful thing is, not only does Jesus bring spiritual peace, but one day every single war will end forever. Because Jesus is the true bringer of true peace. And it will not be a fragile ceasefire. It will be permanent. Isaiah 9, 5 to 6, every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. And so I say this just in closing, the gift of peace. I want to talk to you about something very serious when I talk about the gift of peace. A couple of years ago, I received an absolutely phenomenal gift. I got a bottle of Arby's sauce. Some of you sitting here are like, I hear ya. Most of you are thinking, huh? I happen to be one of those weird people that thinks Arby's is amazing. I absolutely love Arby's sauce. Kim said that Christmas morning, my reaction to getting a bottle of Arby's sauce outweighed any other gift she gave me. I almost had a tear in my eye. I was so excited. It wasn't because it was Arby's sauce, although I highly recommend Arby's sauce. And no, I don't get a commission. But the reason was it was an unexpected gift that brought me joy because it was so thoughtful, because it was specific. You'd have to know me to do that. You'd have to think about me to give me that gift. And it still means so much to me. It's just a dumb bottle of sauce, but it doesn't matter. And think about this. The gift of peace, when Jesus came, he specifically thought of you. And he wanted to rescue you. And it's not something we were looking for. We weren't looking for Jesus. We're blind. We're in hostility. And he came unexpectedly, breaking the night sky. The angels come. And he gives this gift of peace, which is good news for all the people. Cherish that, because that is the greatest gift of love that you could ever know. And so what are you going to do with that gift of peace this Christmas? John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious truth, that we have a gift of peace that came through Jesus Christ. May we, as your people, truly embrace this gift. May each one take hold of it. May each one share this glorious gift of peace. And Father, for my brothers and sisters who maybe their heart is troubled, may they go back to this gift and know that they are at peace with you, O God, and know that their hope is secure in Christ. And so we pray that we would be those, like the shepherds, going and proclaiming this good news. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.